That's why we have to be the church. I know we cannot curse the world for being the world. The world does what the world does. When I lived for the world, I lived as the world lived. And I lived for myself. And I know we have to live for Christ. If we're in Christ, we live for Christ. We live differently than the world, than we used to live. We lived redeemed, new, in holiness and righteousness, and holiness and righteousness, not our own, we have none. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. The best we can do, Isaiah says, looks like that and smells like that and reeks like that before the Lord. But when Christ makes us new, we walk in newness. We walk in His righteousness, His holiness. We not only, and when I say walk, I'm referring to living. We live in His righteousness, in His holiness. And so these things that we read of the world are horrific. But we should not be named among that those things, because we've been called out of the world. The very word church, like on Sunday mornings, I usually do a greeting, "Good morning, church." We could rephrase that and say, "Good morning, called out ones. Good morning, set apart ones." And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a few moments. That's what the church is, ecclesia, the called out ones, separated from the world, not by any goodness we've done, but completely by the grace of God, completely by His grace. And so I hope you do as I do when I drive down State Street and I get down toward the Toyota place. There's something for me to pray about as I drive down right before I get to the U-Haul place, when they put up all their pink banners saying they're supporting this and supporting that. I just pray that God shut this place down. Shut it down. We don't need it. Shut it down. There's enough doctors and hospitals around that'll take care of our ladies. Shut it down. And so, we as the church need to trust the Lord and look to the Lord to do, as Bob brought to our attention. And this is around the sanctity of human lifetime that we honor. And so we can say, "Lord, is there more I need to be doing?" We do have a crisis center in Bristol as well that we can be praying for as well as you drive by it. Lord, uphold them, bless them, take care of them. Lord, what do I need to do? Maybe I just need to be praying. Maybe I just need to be the one praying. Or Lord, maybe I've been there. And Lord, I can minister because I've been there. So to be the church and to be prepared. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Is how are we prepared to walk into church? Because when we walk into church, we're walking into lives that have been affected by the world in the past, in the present, and lives that will be affected by living in this fallen world in the future. So how do we as the body of Christ minister to each other as we walk through this fallen world? What would be your response if I came in here each week unprepared to preach? Now, you may say, "I think you do that. That's pretty evident, it looks like, by the way you preach, brother. Thank you for saying no, whoever that was. I appreciate it. Or if your Grace Connection group teacher came in here each week unprepared to teach. Or what about the worship team if they came in here and not tuned up? And what are we going to sing today, guys? I don't know. What are you going to sing? I don't know. We better find something. What key are we going to? I don't know. What key? And they're unprepared. Or worse yet, what if the Sunday morning yummy crew came in unprepared with yummies? That would probably be a revolt, I think. But you know, we laugh about that. But when it comes to the specific Sunday morning ministries, we assume and are trusting that those who are leading them will be prepared in some form or fashion before they walk in here on Sunday morning, walk into church. What about all of us, though? Is there a preparation for all of us, each of us, all of us, needed before we walk into church? And that's our goal, is to look at that and see. Well, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're just going to look at two verses today. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, he writes these things, "Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel, for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." Now, the context of this passage is true teaching versus false teaching. That's what Paul is addressing with Timothy in the church there, and the false teachers. And he names two of them, Hymenaeus and Philetus, in verse 17. And some believe that Paul is referring to them, these false teachers, as he uses the analogy of the honorable vessels and the dishonorable vessels, the items in the house. And so though Timothy was primarily dealing with these false teachers in the church, the instruction that Paul gives to him, thus them, the church as a whole, I believe can be very beneficial for us all in all areas of our ministry and our life. I don't think Paul was speaking this just for this one situation, though that is the context, and though he was addressing this one situation. I think we can take what Paul is saying to Timothy and we can apply it to all situations in our life, in the ministry, in the body of Christ, especially when he says in verse 21, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." There are three phrases that Paul uses that kind of capture us in these two verses, and these phrases that capture us kind of push us toward being prepared. Being prepared is in the context of what we're looking at right now, being prepared even before we walk into church, even before we walk into the ministry of the church. And he says this, he begins this way. One of the phrases he uses, "if anyone cleanses himself." You know, sometimes a good shower just feels good, just to get rid of the dirt of the day, especially if you've been doing a dirty job that day. There's something about a shower that just, I am thankful to the one who invented showers. You know, said, "Hey, what's this bath stuff? Let's invent a shower." So I'm thankful to the one who did that. And sometimes we just go to the dentist. Why? Because our teeth just need a good cleaning. We brush them, we floss them. But there's just something about, even though it can be rough at times when they're, if they miss and prick you, or the water pressure on that thing is kind of high when it hits and they're going around your gum, it doesn't feel too well sometimes. But when you leave, you rub your tongue across your teeth and you're like, that feels pretty good. They did a pretty good job. We spend a lot of time, each of us, we spend a lot of time in our lives keeping our bodies clean. Us Westerners, we're clean. We like to clean and be clean. But what about the inner man? We like to clean the outer man, but what about the inner man, as the scripture refers to the inner man? What about the inner man? What about the heart? What about your heart? What about your mind? What about your spirit? Last week we began our corporate time of worship in Psalm 51, and we looked at verses 10 through 12, and it said, where David cried out to God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast or right spirit within me. And he goes on later on, he says, and restore unto me the joy of your salvation. David had sinned with Bathsheba. He had sinned by conspiring to have her husband killed, and he was killed, the murder of her husband Uriah. David also wrote in Psalm 32. Now, it's not definite whether Psalm 32 corresponds with Bathsheba and Uriah, David's sin, but he wrote in Psalm 32. He explains in that psalm, whatever the sin was, he explains what it was like to the inside of him, what it was like in his heart, what it was like in his mind, what it was like in his spirit. And he used these phrases. He said, he expressed it as his bones wasted away. He inwardly groaned all the day long, he said. He said that God's hand was heavy upon him. That's what it felt like inside of him, that God's hand was heavy upon him. And he said that his strength was dried up. He had no strength within himself. That's how he described it. And if you go back to Psalm 51, if we were to go back there, David asked the Lord to do something. He had sinned. Nathan had pointed it out to him. God had used Nathan, the prophet, to point it out to him. And David asked the Lord to do something. He asked the Lord to wash him. Wash me. So that he could be clean. Wash me, that he could be white, whiter than snow. So obviously, David had in his mind, and he saw himself as a color, a C-O-L-O-R, a color, other than white, clean white. David saw his inner man as that. And the color that he saw himself as must have portrayed and described his sinful offense against God. Well, Isaiah tells us what that color is. Isaiah spoke of that color. And he tells us, he said that though our sins be what? As scarlet, though they be as crimson red, right? And so Isaiah gives us that color of what David was feeling on the inside, because he wasn't wanting to be that. He was wanting to be white, washed white. And then Isaiah tells us that though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. They'll be as crimson. They shall be as what? As white as snow. And so that's what David, and so David asked the Lord to take his sin, that scarlet, that crimson sin that Isaiah describes, and to cleanse him of it, to take it away. And what happens? To take that stain away, and when that stain's taken away, he is white. He's white. He's clean. He's cleansed. That's why Mr. Clean. What color is Mr. Clean wearing? White. I know. He has nothing on me. But he's wearing white. Why? Because we relate white to cleanliness, to clean. We read in Revelation the robes that the saints will be wearing are the righteousness, the white, white. And so it only makes sense in light of 2 Timothy 2:21 that we just read, that before I walk into church, I need to be cleansed. I need to be clean. I need to take action and acknowledge to the Lord my sin and need of cleaning. Because why? Because I'm entering into the assembly of the believers before what? Before Holy God. I'm entering into the assembly of the believers, and we just sang the song about the name of the Lord, that I'm entering into the assembly of the believers in the name of the Lord. An assembly that what? We just read is what? A foretaste. This assembly, what we're sitting here today, singing and ministering and the things that are going, is just a foretaste of the assembly that we will have and we will be a part of in heaven. It's kind of a pre-gathering, which represents that future gathering we'll have with Jesus for eternity. And because that is reality, I need to be cleansed to worship Him and to serve Him in the church, in His church. So if anyone cleanses himself, Paul says, Paul also says, uses a phrase called set apart as holy. This goes hand in hand with being cleansed. What does it mean to be set apart? It means to take that which is ordinary, to take it, and to move it to a special place for a special purpose. That's exactly what God has done with His church, believers. He has taken us. We're ordinary. We're the world. We're ordinary. He took us, and he cleansed us, and He placed us into the body of Christ, set apart. Set apart from the world. Set apart to be His people. Set apart to be His bride one day. And so if we, the people, are set apart, then that means the gathering that we, the people of God, get together in, as we are right now, this assembly, this gathering, is also a holy time. Because why? Because God is holy and is set aside for a special use. A special use, whether it be here in our Grace Connection group, or whether it be here in corporate worship on Sunday mornings. We can take it even further. What about an informal meeting? We had a Grace Connection group fellowship, a social fellowship at Gary and Debbie's house the other night. Is that different than us gathering together here? Some of the logistics, we didn't sing and go over memory verse and all those things, but we're still the same people, the people of God gathered there in a place. What about if we as the church have a baby shower or a wedding shower, and we all get and those who come are gathered in a place other than this building? Children's camp, dinner and a movie. Anytime the Grace family gathers, it's to be a time that is set apart. It's set apart. We meet with God, and God is holy. And 1 Peter tells us, 1 Peter 1:18, be ye holy. Why? Because God is holy. So before we walk into church, we are to cleanse ourselves, setting ourselves apart as holy, both individually and corporately as well. Because Payne reminds us in our reading that God is in charge of every aspect of the church. Let's rephrase that. God is in charge of every aspect of Grace Christian Fellowship. The church is bigger than us, but I'm just using that in this context. Therefore, since that is true, my mind needs to be renewed to do what? To resolve to that before I enter this building, this assembly, this time of the gathering of the people of God, I'm just using this time as the example. But before I enter into that assembly, that what God is going to do in my life and in the lives of you, my brothers and sisters, in the Lord, as we gather around His Word and ministry, that it's so very important that I have to be cleansed, that I needs must, as Jesus said when He was going to Samaria, I needs must to go to Samaria. We needs must to be cleansed and set apart to be here. Why? Well, Paul tells us in his other phrase he uses, to be useful to or for the master. Who's the master? Who's the master of the house? Christ is the master of the house. And I have to believe that all of us here this morning desire to be used by the Lord in the church. We wouldn't be here. We desire to be used. And may our desire and my desire, when I say our, I'm speaking to myself as well, needs to graduate. And my desire needs to graduate to a resolve to do that this year. As we've talked about, as we spend this year looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to either begin or continue, if you're already doing it, to deepen our usefulness to the Master, for the Master. To deepen that, to trust the Lord to expand it. I can get comfortable in my little ways of what I think is useful to the Lord. But to expand that and to do as we looked at last week, what was that? That's to spur one another on to love and good works. To continue looking unto Jesus, as we looked at a few weeks ago. Payne wrote this, and you're going to read this quote this week. But he says, he's speaking of the church at Corinth. And he says, as they walked in the door at church, they already had something ready to share that would be a benefit to the church. And he was referencing 1 Corinthians 14, where things were kind of out of order. He said, each of you coming in, you just need to do it orderly. But then he goes on to write something after that that's very convicting. He says this, most churches today have the entire absence of anyone except, and he puts in parenthesis, except the preacher having something edifying to share for the building up of God's people. So in other words, Paul was commending them in 1 Corinthians 14 for everybody having a song, a word, a scripture, something ready to share with other believers in the body. They were ready, prepared to speak the word, especially speak the word of the Lord. Speak a passage of scripture. It wasn't new revelations. That's a big thing today. People are getting off on these new revelations and they call it a word from the Lord. When I use that phrase, a word from the Lord, I'm talking what the Lord has already revealed and spoken. Nothing new to add to the canon of Scripture. But they were ready to do that. And so may the Holy Spirit transform us to walk into grace, ready to be what? Useful to the Master in each other's lives. In deeper ways than just the norm. What do I mean by that? We need to pray as a Grace family that our usefulness for the Master is more than just keeping things running. That the thought of the worship, this worship time, this worship service, and the planning of it and all those things, that it's more than just making it happen. There's logistics that have to take place. There's logistics that help it work better, smoother, you know, light, all those things. We understand all those things. But there's much bigger things that God is up to in our lives than just those things. What if we begin to corporately pray that God would take his word that we're intaking here on Sunday morning in our gospel project as we go through the Bible in 3 years, to take that we're learning. And then when we go home, and if you're taking your daily discipleship guide and you're continuing on in that time in the Word, in that same passage for 5 days that week, and maybe you're doing it with your family, or you're doing something else with your family, or whatever word you're taking in, maybe you're listening to a podcast of someone. Maybe you ladies are listening to Nancy Lee DeMoss in the mornings. And some of you guys are listening to, I don't know, R.C. Sproul, Alistair Begg, I don't know, Chuck Swindoll, somebody. And you're listening to those and you're taking in the word. What if we begin to corporately pray that God would take his word and that he would minister his word through us, not just the upfront person, not just your teacher, but all of us, that he would take his word and minister it through us to one another in such a way that it would accomplish that for which he sends it forth. From Isaiah. And it would not return void. And to be used, as Paul said, to be used profitable for teaching, for reproving, for correcting and training in righteousness, that we, as the grace family, may be made complete, lacking nothing. Equipped, what, for every good work, as Paul said, useful to the master. What if we begin to pray something like that before we walked in each week? It's a scary prayer to pray, isn't it? Because what are we thinking? I don't know the Word of God that well. That brings condemnation on yourself. Myself. Then I need to be, what's the answer to that? I need to be in the Word more. I need to know it more. I need to read it more. Doesn't mean you know everything about it. But the Holy Spirit can take that which you do know and can impart to somebody else who needs it that day. But to be ready to do that, to just say, "Hey, let me share a verse that I came across this week, or I remember this verse. I don't remember where it is, but I remember it goes something like this." And guess what, man? We have technology today that can make us lazy, but it can also be helpful. All you got to do is type in about four words to that verse, and it'll find it for you on here. Use that to speak to someone else. What if we prayed before we walked in and said, "God, prepare me to be useful for you today. You've taught me your word this week, Lord. You've taught me your word all my life. How can I impart that to somebody else who desperately needs it, to another brother and sister who desperately needs it?" To pray that we're cleansed, set apart, and ready to be used by the Lord. Captured in these three ways. Why? Why? So that in these three ways, we will finally be prepared and ready to walk into church. God uses different analogies and word pictures throughout the Bible to remind us that preparation is important. He talks about the priest offering sacrifices, what preparation needed to take place. It talks about an athlete who trains and prepares. It talks about a farmer who prepares the soil, a soldier prepared to fight. And these are word pictures that God uses to help prepare us in the same way to worship and follow him. And too often I neglect to prepare my heart and my mind and my spirit and my body to walk into grace and to worship the Lord with you and to minister with and to you. Oh, I prepare for the message. I'll prepare for my gospel project lesson that Gary wished I'd show up for class every once in a while. And I prepare for the worship prep. And if I have to pray, as like Bill prayed today, I prepare for that. But seriously, I have to ask, am I really, really, really prepared in my heart to walk into the body of Christ gathered, this local body we call Grace Christian Fellowship? Prepared to be cleansed, prepared to be set apart, prepared to look unto Jesus, prepared to say, "Lord, where do you want me to sit today? Who do you want me to speak a word to? Lord, who needs me to bless them today?" Prepared with a scripture, a song, a prayer. I pray that we all begin to ask the Lord that question: is my inner man ready and prepared to walk into church? I've got all gussied up. Got my shirt. It's ironed. Right, Mom? Better be, right, Mom? I love the commercial. I won't go off that. Yeah, you seen the commercial where the young man comes up to the door and his shirt's all wrinkled and the mother grabs the girl and brings her in? Like, I know that feeling. So we do all things to be clean and look good and decent and those sorts of things. But what about my heart? What about my inner man? Let me finish with a little bit of encouragement and resources. And this is not scripture. And so this does not come from 2 Timothy chapter 2. So please don't equal this with the scripture. But I hope that you might find it useful to you, coming from one brother in Christ to you. Helpful in not letting your time and your thoughts for Sunday be stolen away and miss being prepared. And like this morning, I said, I was prepared and then things happened that weren't supposed to happen. And it kind of threw me off this morning. And those things, I understand those things happen, but what can I do? I just think if I'd have been less prepared, I'd have been more thrown off. So just quickly, I want to look at these. On Saturday, here's the rule, and here's what I have to remember, is this, that Sunday morning begins Saturday night. Sunday morning begins Saturday night. So just think, get your clothes ready and laid out. We go through this. I know. No. Get your clothes ready and laid out. Daddy, where's this? And Sunday morning, they start asking me, where's my shoes? Where's this? Where's that? I'm like, if you'd have laid them out last night, like I did, like the good guy I am, you know. So I have to be careful not to get too prideful in that. But get your clothes laid out and ready on, so there's not a, like, it's not a battle. Have your Bible and your discipleship guide ready. You're laying on the table, ready to go. Have a plan for breakfast before you go to bed. So you're not going, oh, what are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? What am I going to fix? Oh, they'll have food at church. Let's go. Come on. And know where your car keys are. That one's not directed at you either, dear. And you have done very well this week of hanging. I'm so proud of you. You've hung them up this week on the hook next to the door. And so she knows where her keys are. Not to point that out or anything, but that could be an issue with others other than yourself, so I thought I'd put that on there. Will it not go to the next one? There we go. On Saturday, what about the heart? So that's just some logistical things that help keep us from getting distracted, but what about on the inside? On our Growing at Grace email that you get each week, at the very bottom of it, you'll see, as much as we can do this, as much as possible, I'll put like the sermon text that's going to be for the next Sunday, that coming Sunday, on there. So you can read that on Saturday and kind of know where we're going. Your gospel project study is, the pages are listed there. So you can open up your booklet and know exactly where you're going to be in the morning. So when you come in, your teachers would really appreciate that too. You come in, you're already saying, hey, this, I read this last night, and that sort of thing. So they'd appreciate that a whole lot. So there's some preparation, just some simple preparation things that we can do logistically, and just simple things that can help us to be better prepared, so that I'm not doing all those things and I'm taking up the time finding my car keys. I'm taking up the time trying to get dressed or cook breakfast when I could be saying, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, what have I done this week that I have not confessed to you? Knowing or unknowing, what have I done? And those sorts of things. So I hope that helps. And one more is very important. I want to close with this. Is that D.A. Carson, taken from the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, D.A. Carson wrote in 2010, he said, sometimes the godliest thing you can do in the universe is to get a good night's sleep. And so, you know, that is true. So, you know, if you have to go to work or school in the morning, guess what we'll do? We'll get in the bed because I got to go to work tomorrow. And I'll get everything ready to go to work tomorrow. What at school? I have all my stuff ready for school, even my recorder in the bag. And we have that ready. That's an inside joke between three of us. But anyway, We have all that. We have that ready. But what about Saturday night? What am I doing Saturday night? Am I doing the same thing for Saturday? You know, for work I'll do it. For school I'll do it. But I can tell you that what is happening right here this morning, us gathered together, is, don't take this to an extreme, but this is much, 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 much more important than my work and my school. Gathering with the church as a believer, gathering with the people of God around worshiping the Lord together. Now, don't use that tomorrow morning and say, hey, I'm calling in because yesterday church was more important. Your work is important. You have to go. Your school's important. You have to do it. But how much time, what I'm getting at, how much more time do I put into being ready to get up on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, whatever, to go to work than I do on Saturday night getting ready to be here this morning? I'm afraid we're more rested and alert for work and school than we are for corporate worship sometimes. Let me ask you a heart-searching question. Is a good and needed response that you may need to make to the Lord this morning this, asking Him this truthful question: What temporal thing or activity, Lord, are you calling me to forsake in order to help me get better prepared to gather with the body of Christ on Sundays? Lord, what do you need for me to forsake? And we know you can't neglect your family, you can't neglect those things, but we all have things that are good, but they're not best. We all do good things, but they're not the best things at times. Lord, what is it that's hindering me from being prepared and ready to meet with the body of Christ? Lord, help me to forsake that. Help me to forsake that. Lord, how does my schedule need to change on Saturdays, especially Saturday evenings, maybe in order for me to be better prepared? Lord, how do I need to change that? So we trust the Lord this morning, trust and call upon Him to make you prepared and ready to walk into church. Father, have your way. We pray, God, as the song of response plays, that Lord, we would respond to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name.